morning, St. Paul. We hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have got so much to be thankful for. You know, my favorite verse is John 14:6. It says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. About that this morning. He is the way and the truth and the life. So St. Paul, join me in worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is to the one who made the morning bright. Is to the one who called the stars to shine. Is to the one who raised the dead of night. Pulled me from the dark and set my heart alight. We're going to sing that again, church.
Take my feet and let them be.
my voice and let me sing. Always only for you. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from you. Take my silver.
places of division in our country. God, we thank you. The time when the whole earth pauses to eat turkey and stuffing. God, we thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you that your name brings power. Your name brings salvation. At a time when our country needs it more than ever, God, we want to shout out praises to your name. To those that are in the darkest parts of the world who may not even know you, we pray blessing over them in your name, Jesus. We want to shout your praises for the healing that you brought, for Ryan Healy. Give you thanksgiving and praise. Because there is power in your name. Come on, church.
Morning. Welcome, St. Paul Westport. It's great to see you here today and be able to worship together, which is awesome. So those of you watching online this holiday weekend, it's welcome, and it's awesome to, you're not really here, but you're there. So it's great to be able to worship with you. So there's no children's church today. Because Valisa is actually going to do the teaching today. It was an incredible message at the first service, and just working through the book of Colossians together, which is really awesome. So I just want to pray and just invite God. So Jesus, we just bless you today. We are so thankful for your love. We're thankful for your grace. God, may you be glorified. We bless you today. God, may we just exalt you in every single way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
My hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Thank you. us alone. Faultless we stand before the throne.
Together today, Father, we thank you for your presence to be with us. And Lord, as we sing songs to you and we declare your goodness, Lord, and God, even our minds can't grasp the awesomeness of our God, and so our lips certainly can't, but Lord, we just acknowledge that you're so worthy to be praised. You're a good Father, Jesus. The work you've done for us, you stepped off the throne and you came to humanity, and you died so that we could live. God, we're forever changed by love. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your spirit that lives and moves in us, God, that would awaken the church all across this globe to love boldly, to pray with expectation, to see miracles, to see hope, to see lives restored. Jesus, we bless you. And God, we come today from a place of gratitude. We thank you. Lord, Thanksgiving looked a lot different this year than most years. And yet, Lord, gratitude comes from within. And it's because we recognize what you've done for us and we recognize blessings in our lives, God, as you provide, as you protect. Lord, we just press into you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. God, we pray together today for our own, for Ryan Healy. We pray that, Jesus, you work significantly more steps in the complete eradication of cancer from his body. God, we pray for life. We pray for health. We pray for healing. That there's nothing partial about your work, God. There never is. You're God who completes his tasks, and we pray for the completion of this. We thank you, Jesus, that so many things have improved. The energy's improved, and numbers have improved, and jaundice is down, that tumors have gone away, others have shrunk. God, we thank you for his energy restored. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're doing so much in him, and we come alongside Ryan, we come alongside this family, and we pray, Lord, that your power be released in his life and in theirs. And God, we just hold on to hope and trusting in you, Lord. He's in the best hands he can be in, to be in your hands, and we thank you for that, Jesus. God, we thank you. We bless you today. We pray, God, that where division continues to be so rampant throughout this nation, Lord, we pray for coming together, Lord, and we can't just expect that on the big level, but Lord, perhaps your church would just love strong, and on individual relationships, God, that we wouldn't tolerate fights, we wouldn't tolerate debates that don't change anybody's minds, but God, that we would just love and be respectful and carry integrity. So Lord, this requires you, though. It's the mess is bigger than you, or bigger than us, but it's not than you. And so Jesus, we pray for hope, we pray for life, we pray for love, we pray for honor. God, we just invite you today. And Lord, as we get into your word, we pray today that your spirit would come and just anoint Valisa yet again, and I pray you would anoint each of us, Lord, that we would do more than just hear through our ears, but we'd receive in our hearts and in our minds to become more and more like you. Jesus, we bless you today. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, guys, please have a seat. So we'll see if at the early service where Felisa's like going, and I'm thinking, what's that hum? Oh, somebody's got a leaf blower going out there, you know, like figuring across the street. And then I thought I heard it hit the doors, and I'm like, it's a vacuum cleaner in here. And it turns out our leaf blowers were actually on a Sunday morning of all 7 days of the week, they chose Sunday morning to show up. And they were like right outside. And so we told them, come back later, please. So we shouldn't have leaf blowers for at least another hour. So would you welcome Felisa?
I wondered this morning, should I like acknowledge that there's like a big distraction in the room or not? But it was funny. So good morning, everyone. Good morning to those that are online. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. As Brad mentioned, it looks a lot different for many people. And this year, I'm living in a different state, which is crazy. But I was able to spend Thanksgiving with my family that I have here, so that was great. And I see them here, so that's wonderful. Hi, fam. So you guys can go ahead and open to Colossians. And I'll pray again before we start. But Lord, I thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your presence and just for the message of your hope, Lord. And I just ask that whatever you want to speak to people today, God, that you would just use me. And I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the Bible reading last weekend, we finished with the book of Colossians. And it's really interesting because I love reading Paul's words and just reading this book of Colossians and thinking that Paul wrote this when he was in jail, and this was the third letter that Paul had written from prison. And when I think about being in prison, and I personally really like writing, but I have never been in prison, nor do I want to be. But if I had like an ideal spot to write at, it would be like by the beach, somewhere warm, and it would be quiet, and I would have like a Coca-Cola with me, and I would be really comfortable, and I would be writing. And I think about Paul and what he wrote and the words that he spoke, and it's just amazing because I think about the suffering that he was experiencing and how different that would have been for me. I picture if I were in jail and writing, I would be writing about the bathrooms or the food or the lack of food and the people around me, and I would probably not be focusing on the Lord and his goodness. And so I just want us to keep that in mind this morning, that Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he is writing to the church in Colossae. And false teachers at this time were trying to convince Christians that their faith was incomplete. They were teaching the Colossians to worship angels and to follow special rules and ceremonies. And there was an intense amount of pressure from society. And I think about just society and where we're at now too, and constantly feeling pressure. There's always pressure around us. And I think as believers, we feel pressure, and it's easy to kind of get bumped by that. So one reason that I also love it is because Paul is teaching us how to pray in this scripture. And we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 through 11, I'm going to start off with. So, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And when I read this scripture, it's interesting because I spent a lot of time praying at a house of prayer in Omaha, and I would pray for different topics. We would do worship and we would do prayer, and during that time, this is one of the scriptures that we use very often. We would pray this scripture and kind of fill in the blank with people. And so I was thinking of the high schoolers here and thinking about things that I can be praying for them, because oftentimes when we're praying, we're like, we don't really know what to pray. We don't really know what to say. And so I'm just going to give an example. And my high school students out here, I'm so excited because I told them to come, and I see a couple of them. So in my alone time with the Lord, I could simply pray, and I could take this verse and pray for God to fill Ryan or Oliver, Connor, any college student here, Izzy. Like, I can ask the Lord to fill these students with the knowledge of God's will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that Isaac may know how great that the Lord is. I can take these scriptures, I can take these words that Paul said, and I can use them. And so many times, I think we just get accustomed to the Word of God, but we forget that it's alive, that it's living, it's active, and we can use it now. The next part, if you go to verse 15, it's talking about the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ. Paul is basically going to describe who Jesus is. Chapter 1, verse 15 starts with, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rules or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." When I read this, I think of, like, what an incredible resume this would be. He is the image of the invisible God. Many times we struggle with, like, okay, God, I can't see you. You're not here. And I think this verse just sums it up. God sent his son through himself to magnify who God was, but he sent himself as the exact representation. And oftentimes I think, I'm like, God, you're not here. It's kind of hard to see you. But I can think about this and reflect on Jesus and think about his life and knowing that God sent the Son. And not only did he send his Son, but it says he was pleased. God was pleased. I think many times we feel like, well, God just made us because he had to. And we're here because we're here, you know. And I think oftentimes I'm like, okay, God was pleased. Like, he was pleased. He was happy. He was glad. He was so grateful to send his son in his place and to die on the cross and to be here for us. And I just think that's amazing. I love that. I'm trying to get all my notes together here, just as a side note, because I did not put them in the right order. So bear with me. People online, it's just like a glitch. Okay, so we're going to go down to, we'll go to chapter 2, but I just want to talk about a little bit. I had a verse here, and it talks about thankfulness and overflowing, and I had shared a story with the high schoolers a couple weeks ago about how my bathroom had some overflowing problems because the woman upstairs, she turned on the bathtub, got a phone call, forgot about the bathtub, and so water was running through our vent. And when I think about thankfulness, when I think about overflowing, I sometimes like think of overflowing and I think of it as a bad thing because I'm like, overflowing water in my bathroom was not a good thing. But in the scripture where it's like we should be overflowing. And I think that I oftentimes in my life think about thankfulness and I think about just how ungrateful I can become. But in chapter 3, actually I'm going to skip to chapter 3, it says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If I am clothed with something, it means that I'm wearing it. And if I'm wearing something, say that you go to the store, you go to school, you're usually wearing your clothes, whatever you have on, the whole day. You don't take it off, right? So I'm picturing myself being clothed with Christ, being clothed with kindness and gentleness. And I just kind of had an image of, like, say that I'm at the store and I'm getting frustrated and all of a sudden I just, like, take off my sock. I wouldn't just take off my sock in the random of the in the middle of the grocery store for no random reason. But when I'm at the grocery store, I often take off kindness. I often take off humility because I'm irritated. I'm like, people are walking slow and they can't figure out which tomato to pick, and I just want you to pick a tomato so that I can keep moving. And at the store in Omaha, we have this store that was really close to our house, and I went there, and I would always ask Matt, like, can you go to the store for me? Because every time I go, someone always stops me, like, guaranteed. And so this time that I went, I was like, I'm just going to go in really quick, grab something, come back out. And sure enough, I don't even get into the second set of doors, and this man stops me, and he's like, hey, my glasses are broken. Can you help me? And I'm like, what do I look like? Like, I don't know. I'm like, sure, let me try to help you. And so his lens had, like, popped out of his glasses, so I'm trying to pop it back in. And I just feel like it was so funny of the Lord, because it's like, here I am in a rush trying to, like, move on with my life. And then I meet this person who needs help, and I think so many times I just forget. I forget the scripture. I forget to clothe myself with compassion and kindness and gentleness. In verse 13, it starts with, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another, and in all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And when I read this, I'm like, okay. I think that I often, in this season, like, being, it's really hard, I think, just having a grateful heart. And I think at the beginning of 2020, it was like, great, it's going to be an amazing year. We're going to have perfect vision. We're going to be able to see God's plan. All these things in my life are going to be awesome and great. And then you get into the pandemic for a couple months, and it's kind of like, okay, like, at first I really enjoyed it. I'm like, I get to, like, spend time with my husband. I'm working at home. And then you get a little bit farther in and you're like, okay, this is awful. I'm ready for this to be done. And I think about, like, am I living out these scriptures? Am I encouraging those around me? Am I loving those in front of me? And am I allowing Christ to dwell in my heart? And I think oftentimes I'm not. I'm thinking about how awful this year is and all the things that are going wrong, and I'm not thankful. I'm not thanking the Lord and telling him all the things that I'm grateful for. I think of the Colossians, and they were being faced with, obviously not a pandemic, but they were having persecution, and they weren't sure of who Jesus was, and Paul had to write to them to encourage them. Yes, Jesus is who he says he is. And to keep the fight, like, to keep fighting, to keep believing. In chapter 3, it also gives us rules for holy living. It's basically like a list, a very long list, but I often think of that and thinking of being thankful and all these things, and then I look down farther and I often think of, like, I think our Christian walk oftentimes feels like, here's a bunch of rules, here's how to follow them, and then you'll have a good life and you'll spend eternity with Christ. But I think we oftentimes forget that it's about relationship. And in these rules, in these instructions, I oftentimes don't like reading instructions and rules. Like, we'll buy some furniture from IKEA, and I'm like, I got this. I can figure this out on my own. I don't need it. But when it comes to, like, baking cookies, I'm like, Matt and I, we need to read the instructions, make sure we do it perfectly, follow it to a T, because I want them to be the best that they can be. I want them to essentially be perfect cookies. But with the Word and with Christ, I'm oftentimes like, it's just not really fun. Like, I don't want to follow all these rules, do all these things. But there was a study that was done, and I learned this a couple years ago, but there was a study of two different groups. They were preschool kids, and one group was given a playground with a fence, and then the other group was given a playground without a fence. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't know what this is going to be, but I'm sure that the kids that don't have the fence feel more freedom. Well, it's the exact opposite. So the kids that had the fence felt like, okay, I know what the rules are. I know what I can do and what I can't do, and they felt free to play. They didn't have to ask their teachers for permission. They just had fun. The kids that didn't have the fence were more hesitant. They had to ask their teacher for permission to go play, to go do things. And I oftentimes think that, you know, when we're asking God, when we're asking him how to live our lives, we get a little bit nervous. We think that he has all these rules and these regulations that we have to follow, and we don't get to have fun. And I think once you experience these safe boundaries, and once you experience the Lord and know that Jesus, that was made perfect for me when he wants to have relationship with me, then I do feel the freedom. I feel freedom that I can do whatever I want to in Christ because he's in me. And I think just of Paul, where he's praying and he's encouraging the Colossians, but he's also praying for himself. He was praying that God would open up a door for their message, that he would be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ. And he was proclaiming this message in chains. And so oftentimes I think that, like, Paul had this opportunity, and Paul could have just been in jail and just stopped caring about his life, but he continued to pursue Christ. He wrote these words, and I think about, like, when I'm writing things, when I'm doing things with the Lord, where I'm like, Paul had no idea that we would be here today, St. Paul Westport, that we would be talking about his words that he wrote. How profound is that? When I think about, what am I speaking? What am I living? What does my life look like? I want others to remember my life and to see that I was living through Christ. Paul was telling the Colossians, telling them, don't give up. Stay in this. Jesus is who he says he is. He is the firstborn. He created everything. He's before everything. And he was speaking to his identity, but he's also speaking to our identity. He tells us that we are holy, that we are beloved, that we are a chosen people. And Paul wanted the Colossians to know, walk in your identity, believe who Jesus is. Christ is who he says he is. And all of these other things, all of these other idols, there were so many other things that they could believe in. I want you to believe in Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus is the way. And I could feel that for myself, where I'm just finding myself relating to this book, where I'm like, there are so many other things that I could do with my time. There's so many other ways that I could fill myself. There's idols all around, and I can choose to spend time in the Word. I can choose to know him, but I'm going to have to say no to other things. And I'm so encouraged that Paul was writing to the Colossians, because they too were in the same boat that we're in, where it's so hard in society now to see Jesus for who he is and to know that he was an invisible God, and now he's living in me, and to remind myself that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I think of Paul when he was put in jail for the sake of the gospel, and he didn't shy back, and I don't want to be shy about my faith. I don't want to be afraid of what others will think, because I want these scriptures to come alive in my life. I want Jesus to be glorified through my life. And in order to do that, yes, there are rules and there are ways of living. But when I do this, when I know that I have freedom in Christ, then all of these things, I want to do it because I want to please the Father. Just like you guys, like, even as we're older, it's like you still want to please your parents. You still want them to be proud of you. And that's how it is with the Lord. But it's like, I had a dream this morning, and it was like, the Lord still loved me no matter what. I could come up here and do great or do awful, and no matter what, the Lord's still going to love me. And so when I think about that, it's like, I could try to do my best with these rules, but if I have Christ in me, and if I take off my old self and put on the new self, if Christ is in me, then I'm free from all these other things, and I'm free from religion, and I get to live with him in relationship with him. So I want this week, I want us to think about, like, what is the story that we're sharing? Like, what does our life look like? And how are others seeing us? And what do they see? I think about, there was a man that I saw in Africa, and Brad had taken a team of us down to South Africa a couple years ago, and there was a man that was at the grocery store. And it's interesting, because when I'm at a grocery store in another country, I'm like, free, I have all the time in the world. But then I get here, and I don't like it, right? But we're there, and our whole goal was to go to the grocery store. We're going to pray for people. And so we see this man, and he's begging, and he's outside, and he's blind. And I'm like, okay, well, let's pray for him to see, right? That makes sense. And so we ask him if we can pray for him. We ask him what his name is, and his name was Paul. And I'm like, perfect, your name's in the Bible. This is going to be a great story. Can't wait to see a miracle happen. Well, we prayed one time, and we didn't see anything happen. And we prayed again, and we still didn't see anything happen. And I kind of kept waiting, like, okay, Lord, like, I'm doing what you tell me to do, pray for the sick, and nothing's happening. And I'm like, in my mind, it was the perfect opportunity for God to display his glory. It was like, here's this blind man. He probably comes here every day. It'd be so easy for you to heal him. And it never happened. And I remember being like, I don't really want to leave the store because I want to keep praying. And finally, they're like, we have to go. And I'm like, okay, maybe it'll happen after we leave, right? But I think there's so many times in my own walk with the Lord where I haven't seen breakthrough like I thought it would. I thought it would look a certain way, and then it didn't look that way. And I have this expectation for God to move in a certain way. And then when that doesn't happen, I get disappointed, and I forget to be thankful and have a grateful heart. And I think about that man many times and thinking, maybe what the Lord wanted me to do was just to acknowledge him. Maybe the Lord wanted to do something in my heart that when I see people at this store now, that I would stop and I would love them. When I go to my work, when I'm here, that I would stop for the one, that I would stop for those people in front of me. And so many times I think we want it to be this glorious, like we want our life, we want our ministry to look big and amazing, and we want to see God do all these miracles through us. And sometimes it looks very simple. It looks like clothing ourselves with humility and kindness. And in the world where a lot of that is not happening, it's like we're going to stick out no matter what. If you can display Jesus, if you can do these simple things, people will want what we have. So I just want to pray as we end, but I just want our lives here at St. Paul to look different. I want people to see us and to know us as ones that love, and that love without restrictions, ones that love without, like, okay, I'll love you if you do this for me. I just want us to love freely. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning, God, I pray that our lives would not look like little puppets, Lord, that we would just follow in your way because we have to, Lord, or because we think that's what you want, God. But what you want, Lord, you want relationship with us. God, you sent your son to die for us, and you have Christ in us. I have Christ in me. We have Christ in us. And so would we not lean on our own understanding, God? Would we not try to perform or to show you that we're the best version of ourselves, God? But would we simply trust you in us? Would we feel able to come to you with all of our needs? Would we be able to love those around us, Lord? God, I just pray for this week, God, that we would see that you are loving, that you are kind, and that you sent Jesus for us individually, for each one of us, you sent him. And so I pray, Lord, that as you send us out, that as we go about our week, Lord, as we have school and work and things that we're doing, God, would we take time to recognize who is in front of us? Lord, would we love the person in front of us and not be so just stuck with our own lives, Lord, concerned about what we have going on, our time schedule, our problems, Lord? I ask that you would just slow us down, Lord. Lord, I don't want to get to 2021 and regret, God, the things that I didn't do. I want to say that I was able to have a thankful heart. Lord, that I was able to maintain my faith, that I was like the Colossians that didn't give up, Lord, but that they truly saw you for who you were. Would you encourage us? And God, I just thank you. I thank you for the word, and I thank you that you have given us everything that we need, Lord, that you made us for you, and that you were pleased. God, you were pleased. You are so grateful to make us. And so would we remember this week, God, that you are a happy, loving, kind Father. And Lord, where we feel disappointed with this year or disappointed with our circumstances, God, would you continue to root us and ground us in your love, Lord, that we would see what really matters and that we would know that our focus is on you, Jesus, and everything else can fall to the side, Lord. We trust you with our lives, and we ask that you would just pursue us this week, God, that we would see more of your love this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. This time we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So if on your way in you didn't grab one of these, you can go grab one. They're just out in the hallway. It's a little packet of bread and wine or bread and grape juice. And we'll do that together. Would you stand for prayer? Yeah. And the doxology. Father, we thank you. God, we, just even listening to this message today and what you're saying through your word and through Valisa, God, sometimes we need a reset to truly align ourselves with you. And you offer that. You offer that in love, not with a... Your resets aren't whippings. They're restorations. They're drawing us to you. And so, Lord, we desire that today. We want to be aligned with you. And so, Jesus, we look for an encounter with you. We invite you to come to us. And God, the one, and there's only one obstacle that we have in having close communion with you, and that's our sin. God, the sin, my sin is nobody else's responsibility other than myself. I am accountable for that. And yet I find myself in a position where I can't like shake it off either myself. And Jesus, this is where we look to the cross. We look to the heart of the gospel. And we say, Jesus, when you died on the cross, you took my sin, you took each of our sin here, and you took that upon yourself, that when you died on the cross as the Lamb of God, who had never sinned but took our sin in place, you actually paid the penalty for our sin so that we don't have to. And God, that penalty is separation from you, both here and forever, eternally. And so, Lord, we thank you that you took that for us. And we confess, God, that we've continued to sin. We've done it in our minds, with our lips, with our bodies, with our actions, God. We've just moved in the opposite direction of you. But Lord, you offer us the opportunity to come to you. And so we confess this sin to you and say, Jesus, I'm genuinely sorry for my sin. And I repent, meaning I want to stop. I want to turn my life back to Jesus. I want to give my life to Christ, and I need this sin completely gone. And so, Lord, we say that to you, and we ask you for forgiveness, for mercy on us, that you'd restore us into relationship with you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Our God is so faithful that when we confess our sins and we acknowledge what Christ has done for us, he's quick to forgive. The whole image of God in heaven, far removed from us, shaking his head in anger or frustration. Our God is a God who desires one thing, and it's restoration. And so it's his joy to forgive each of you of your sin. It's what Christ has done on the cross for us to enable that. And so I want to announce to you, your sins, upon your confession, your sins are forgiven. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And so we take, we eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, take and drink this cup. It's a new covenant of my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So we take, we drink. May this body and blood of Christ give you strength and endurance to life everlasting. Amen. Awesome. We'll close our worship today with singing worship. While the band comes up, I'll give a couple of the announcements today. But it's great to see you here today. It's always great to worship in person. We're thankful for those of you joining online as well. A couple things. It's just an interesting era. We don't touch each other, and we don't really touch something that somebody else touches. And so things like offering, there's an offering plate in the back. You can also give your tithe online. Encourage that aspect. We have youth group tonight at 5 o'clock right here, and which will be awesome. And then there's Wednesday night prayer this week. We pray for revival, 7 o'clock Wednesday. Everybody is welcome to come for that. It's about a 60 to 70 minute prayer meeting. We worship in the beginning, and then we pray. It's just a really good time together. And then finally, the mission of the month through tomorrow, through the end of November, is Hidden Choices, our awesome ministry for life. So let's sing together.
the storm and through the fire. There is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who is me. You are stronger.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hey, thank you for coming and worshiping today. If you wouldn't mind, just take your little trash with you. There's a wastebasket on the way out, but have an awesome Sunday. Thank you.